Chapter number 11, I only got a few minutes because I gave you my word. But I like this little passage here, Acts chapter number 11. And we are in the series studying the book of Acts. Now I want you to remember where we were last week. In Acts chapter number 10 was a big moment, because in Acts chapter number 2, we see the Jews are understanding the gospel, they're saved. It's exciting. Acts chapter number 8, the Samaritans, the gospel comes to the Samaritans, they're saved, receive the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter number 10, the Gentiles receive the gospel. That ought to be something you and I are thankful for as Gentiles. And what happened was, and I don't want to re-preach the message, though I love the application of it in the last part, but Cornelius, who's a Gentile, was living in Caesarea. And Peter, who is a Jew, and the Gentiles and Jews didn't care for each other back then. Matter of fact, if a Jew came in contact with them, they would go through a ritual of cleansing themselves because they considered themselves unclean because they touched who they call a dog. They called the Gentiles dogs. And so they didn't get along. There was this uncleanness about them. And so Peter was reaching the Jews, the church was reaching the Jews, but God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and the gospel needed to spread to the Gentiles. And so Cornelius is a lost man who's religious, seeking God. And God ends up sending him to Peter. Well, Peter doesn't know it, and then the next day in his routine, he gets up to pray, and God gives him a vision. And in that vision, he said, listen, the vision was basically take and eat what's considered unclean. And he said no. But then he realized when he was not heard the knocking on the door, God was sending him some Gentiles, and God was trying to get in his heart to say, listen, quit looking at these people as unclean and having a prejudice against them. Reach them with the gospel. And the door was open wide for the gospel to come into the Gentiles, and Peter received them. And it was a wonderful thing. And we talked about how people reach people. The angel, I'm going to say it one more time because it fascinates me, all right? So you got to live with it one more time. The angel came and said to a man who was seeking God, the angel came and said this, go down and you'll meet Peter. He'll tell you. And here's the question I said last week. Why didn't the angel just share the gospel? Why didn't the angel just say, hey, believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Because God doesn't use angels to reach people. He uses me and you. People reaching people. And so here's a faithful man getting up in the morning to pray. And all of a sudden he hears a knock on his door. That doesn't happen too often. Usually we're knocking on people's door. And he hears a knock on his door. And he goes to it and it's Gentiles. First he's thinking, oh no. But he remembers that vision. And he gets to go back with him to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius gets saved. Now, start right there. If I told you that story, if I told you, hey, right after the service today, somebody came and somebody wanted to be saved, and I took that person and shared the gospel and they got saved, man, I'd come in here and everybody would be excited. Some of you would say amen. Some of you would just nod your head. Some of you would wake up and say, what happened? What happened? I mean, there would be an excitement. I mean, somebody got saved. There would be a joy in our hearts. Can you imagine if I said, hey, guess what? Somebody accepted Christ today, and somebody stood up and said, I contend that. I doubt they're really saved. All of a sudden, it would get really awkward in here. And that's what happened to Peter when he arrived back. So let's pray, and I'm going to show you real quick what happened in that story. I'm going to tell you a story first, and we'll get into that message. Father, thank you so much for our time. Thank you for your amazing love and your amazing grace. And I pray that you would help us as we look into this text to see how Peter responded to this. And Lord, I just pray that you would challenge our hearts with this story. In Jesus' name, amen. So you go back about 13 years. My wife and I were dating. I worked at the park as security. Don't I look like a guy that would be security? And she worked at the front gate. So she was the welcoming. You come into the park, you're like, wow, I want to go to that park. Look at her. And so that's where she worked, basically. She took money. Well, her shift was supposed to be over, I was working, and I would come up there, and one time I noticed her shift was over. So I come up there to kind of pull in with the security car, like I'm the stuff, no car, no gun, no anything, I just got the cool car. And I go to pull in there to see where she's at, and she's in there talking to the guy that was working. Were you coming on or coming off? You were coming off, and he was coming on. So there's usually when a guy comes in and takes her spot, you know, you got to count the money, make sure everything's fine, and that's fine. But they had been in there for a long time. And we're dating. And so I drive around and come back through, and I'm not going to give the whole story. You want the whole story, you go see her. She'll tell you a 45-minute story. But she's still in there with this guy. So I pull back. I go do my rounds. I come back. She's still in there with this guy. So I pull up in this little spot, and I'm spying on him. And I'm kind of watching out there like this, and I don't know what's going on. And I didn't want to drive by again. I don't want to be a stalker. I mean, come on. So I actually drove down this back road that you're not, that the boss works on. I drove over the curb, through the grass, in the ditch, and out of the dirt. I'm in the DNR car, so it's all good. State. So then I drive onto the road, and I come back in through the entrance. So she would be like, how does he get over there? And I drove by giving her one of these. And I'm going like this. She's kind of looking at me. She's still in there with this guy. You were in there about 45 minutes or so. And finally, she leaves. So I pull up to talk to her. I said, so what's going on? What are you doing in there with this guy the whole time? And she says, I just led in the Lord. He accepted Christ as Savior. I said, well, what took you so long? I mean, it didn't take that long. I was not rejoicing. I wasn't too excited about it. And I don't ever remember rejoicing about that guy getting saved. Now, that was wrong and that was sinful. Probably the only guy ever. But I was like, what took you so long? You know, you don't need to be the one witnessing. Let a guy do it. But I was kind of a little stalker boyfriend at the time. I've matured a lot in 12, 13 years. I really have. But, you know, it's goofy, and I shared a goofy story to warm me up, but it's to think when someone gets saved, we all want to rejoice. Boy, we all want to be excited. But look at our text in Acts chapter number 11. It says, and the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, so Jews, and that's actually a phrase, it's more of these legalistic Jews. They were believers, but in the church of Jerusalem, there was a lot of different believers. And there was a legalistic group of believers that they were saved by faith, but they were still holding on to their Jewish traditions and some of the motions of their Jewish. They had a hard time letting go of some of those rituals they used to do and accepting grace for the Christian life. And so there was still some struggle there, and they still were looking at the Gentiles as these dogs. And so that's the people. And it says they contended with him. So imagine him coming back, and he just saw Cornelius saved, and he's coming back excited, and he starts to share with him, and somebody says, hey, listen, you should have never shared the gospel with him. I doubt he's really saved. And all of a sudden, that word contend means to separate. They were willing to separate from Peter, saying, listen, I don't want anything to do with you. If you're going to go to those dogs, then I'm not going to have any part with you. They separate. It means to judge. It literally means a hostile spirit. Man, I've never had an experience where I lead someone to the Lord, I come back to the church, and I tell the church, and most of the time you get people saying, amen, that's exciting. They're shaking their hand, they're hugging them, some people are crying, that's exciting. I can't imagine somebody with a hostile spirit saying, what are you doing? Well, how dare you go to these dog Gentiles? And boy, they were upset and they were contending with him. And so you would think when Peter arrives, instead of running up to Peter and saying, hey, if you've been here in the last few weeks, we've watched as Peter's done some amazing miracles. They didn't rock up and say, hey, I heard about Brother Aeneas. I heard Brother Aeneas he's been on our prayer list for 8 years and he's not been able to walk. And Peter, I heard that you went to Brother Aeneas and you told him to get up and walk and Brother Aeneas was healed and now he's better. That's amazing. They didn't say that. Hey, they didn't even do this. They didn't even say, hey, Peter, so good to have you back. We heard about Tabitha, how she was dead. And the Lord gave you the power to raise her back up from the dead. That's only happened 9 other times, Peter, ever. And God used you to do that. They didn't say that. You know what they said? They crossed their arms. I can't do it in my suit. I'm like, that's a bad idea. They crossed their arms and they said, hey, Peter, heard you went to the Gentiles. There was just some amazing things. Aeneas was healed. Tabitha raised from the dead. And remember, not even that. Okay, go a little farther. Even after Aeneas was healed, remember what the Bible says? Many believed. After Tabitha was healed in Joppa, it says many believed. So they could have said, hey, boy, not only did the Lord use you to heal Tabitha, raise her from the dead, but all those people got saved. They didn't rejoice. All they did is care about that one Gentile. How dare you go to that Gentile? That's all they brought up. Now, if I'm Peter, put yourself in Peter's spot. You've been traveling. Remember it says in chapter number 10, he went to all the quarters to kind of check on the believers during this time of persecution. And you're traveling, you come back and you're finally home and you think, man, I'm in my church, everybody's going to be excited, and you get this group that's just grumpy, just a bad attitude. And they come to question what you've been doing. I don't know how you would respond. Maybe you would do it in a spirit-filled way, but I think I would be saying, you know what, guys? I've been traveling, serving the Lord, and you want to bring that type of spirit? Let's just throw down right here. I mean, I would probably want to lash back out at them. But all I want to say tonight is this. I want you to watch Peter's response. Watch Peter's response. I'll give you two quick thoughts on that. Because really, this text, he repeats this text, which is for a reason. He basically repeats chapter number 10. He's going to go back and say, hey, this is what Cornelius saw. And he repeats it almost word for word. He says, here's what I saw in my vision. Repeats it almost word for word from last week. And so, I don't want to go back and go through and teach all those points I taught it last week. But once you get to chapter 19 or verse 19, it's a whole new section of the book of Acts. And it's important. We're going to be here all day if I get to the new section. And you just ate. So I'm going to start with just two points taken from this first section on how he responded to the contention in the church over the rejoice of somebody being saved. Not a doctrinal issue. I mean, it is, but it was someone being saved. But here's how he responded. Watch this. I'll give you two things. Number one is he reacted in truth. In verse, when they came to contend with him, is saying, thou wentest to men with uncircumcised and did eat with him. Matter of fact, they weren't even upset that he shared the gospel with them. They were mad that he ate with them. You ate with those dogs? How dare you? Isn't that what the Pharisees did to Jesus when he ate with the sinners? How dare you eat with those sinners? And so they were mad. They said, you went in and ate with them? I can't believe that. So verse number 4 says, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. And then he goes in verses 5 on down to what I read last week. So let me summarize it. Here's what he says. Hey, listen, I was in Joppa, 30 miles north of here, and I was praying. About noontime, I was praying as I normally do. And while I was praying, I started to feel hungry and I was going to eat, but the food wasn't ready. So while I was there, all of a sudden the Lord gave me this vision. In the vision, you remember the sheets came down. And he said those sheets came down. There was clean animals and unclean animals. And he said the Lord came to me and said, eat. And he said thrice, I said, no, I'm not going to eat. But the Lord kept saying, eat. And then he says on down there, he says in verse number 15, and as they began to speak, the Holy Ghost, let me back up. He says verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. So he talks about, hey, after I did this three times, there were some guys that came to my house, and the Holy Spirit told me to go with them. And so I did. I obeyed what God told me to do. So what did he do? Peter simply, number one, he's just shared the truth with them. Do you know what changes lives? The truth. He didn't have to make something up. He didn't have to get timid and say, well, you know, he just simply shared the truth. This is what God said. Now, today we would say that we would call the truth the Word of God. Peter didn't have the completed Word of God. We have the completed Word of God. So our responsibility is not to try to make it cute or necessarily make this. All we need to do is share the truth. What does the Bible say? Remember, we already talked about the Spirit in the first service. The Spirit will work and convict and do that. But we have a responsibility to share the truth. And Peter didn't say, you know what, guys? You're going to come at me for eating with these Gentiles and leave one of the Lord. Let's just argue. He didn't argue. I'll get to that in the second point. He said, let me just share with you what happened. Let me share with you the truth. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I just don't know how to witness to somebody. Just tell them what happened in your life. Tell them about when you got saved. How did you get saved? Just tell them. Share the truth. And Peter simply shared the truth with them. He told them what took place in his life. And then number two, not only did he share the truth, but he did this. He shared it graciously. In Ephesians, it calls it this, speaking the truth in love. But he spoke the truth, and he spoke it graciously. He didn't come at him like maybe you would. I definitely probably would have. And when I'm excited, and you get those grumpy people. When you're excited about something the Lord did, and all of a sudden you got that negative person, it's always like, well, we'll see if they're really saved. There's one person who used to say that to me. I'd say, hey, you know, just so-and-so got saved, and they'd say, well, we'll see if they're really saved. What do you mean if they're really saved? Well, you know, we'll see if their life changes and this. I'm like, that is the most negative, pessimistic attitude I've ever seen. The person just bowed their head, said, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died for them. They accepted you as their Savior. What are we waiting to see? Are we Calvinists or something? Are we waiting to see? Well, let's see. No, they accepted Christ as their Savior. Every once in a while, though, there are those people that are just kind of the grumpy ones. They're like, well, yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. Don't let that kill your spirit. Because here's Peter. I mean, he had every reason to just go back at these guys, but he spoke the truth and he did it graciously. He just said, hey, guys, here's what took place in my life. And you know what? How difficult. Here's what's amazing about this to me. Peter actually, a little bit later in Galatians chapter number 2, is going to revert back to where they are. If you remember the story, Peter actually is going to be eating with Gentiles, and Jews are going to come, and he's going to get up and leave, and he's going to go over here with the Jews, and he's going to avoid the dogs. And you know what Paul does? Paul comes up to him, and Paul says, hey, Peter, get up here. And he gets to Peter. I've always wanted to do this, so I'm going to try it. No, I'm just kidding. He says, Peter, listen, what you did was wrong. And you're having an influence on some of these others. Even Barnabas is starting to do it. He's avoiding the Gentiles. Peter even reverted back to trying to avoid the Gentiles. That's how indoctrinated. You and I, we don't even understand that. That's how indoctrinated he was, and they were in their culture. That's like us today in this younger generation. We don't hopefully look at the racism. We talked last week about the Jackie Robinson thing. And that culture, man, they were entrenched in it, unfortunately and sadly. Today, this younger generation, But I'm telling you what, they were entrenched. Even Peter, he kind of stumbled with this before. But in this case, Peter, to these guys, looked at him and very graciously, he just said, listen, this is what God has done. The gospel has come to the Gentiles. And I watched Cornelius pray and he accept Christ. And here's what authenticated. Remember, in the Acts, God would use these sign gifts to authenticate, to say, listen, I'm giving my stamp of approval. And here's what changed the minds of everybody. Watch what he says in verse number 15. He says, and as I began to speak, because all Peter did was share the gospel, he shared the truth with the last chapter. He said this, the Holy Ghost fell on them and on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much as then God gave them like gift as he did us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? He said, how could I go against God? I mean, I watched them. They accepted Christ. The Spirit of God came upon them in a very obvious way, like he did us in Acts chapter number 2, like he did the Samaritans in Acts chapter number 8. He came upon us in a very obvious way. God is in this, guys, so accept it. That's what he said. Because you and I know today, 2,000 years later, the gospel's for everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. Little Elijah, he's been singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And his words, if you didn't know it, you may not understand it, but he sings it. But it's very true, because Jesus Christ died for the world. We're to take the gospel everywhere. So finally, what was the people's response? Their reception was to judge him. The reception was to criticize him, to have a bad spirit. They didn't bring up any of the good stuff, they criticized him. The reaction of Peter was one of truth and graciousness. So what was the people's response in verse 18? It says, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. It changed their minds. At first, they came at him with a very hostile spirit. But Peter kept his cool. Peter spoke the truth. Peter did it with a gracious spirit, with a loving spirit. And now when they hear the truth, they said, you know what? You're right. They held their peace. They kept their mouth shut. And then they began to glorify God. And they said, of a truth, the gospel has come to the Gentiles. You see, that early church could have had a bad moment right there. I think if Peter... And you remember Peter in the Gospels? He was a guy that would shoot off at the mouth, wasn't he? Remember, he's the guy who told Jesus, hey, listen, hey, these guys, they may deny you, but not me. And Jesus said, hey, you're going to deny me before the morning comes. He was a guy that shot off the mouth many times. He said, hey, let's set up some tabernacles right here. And Jesus said, no, that's not what we're going to do. But in this moment, Peter's matured. That encourages me to see a guy that was kind of growing and making some mistakes early on, to see where God has matured him. That encourages me. And then here he is now, and he's saying, listen, I know these guys just came at me with a hostile spirit in my own church, but let me share with them what happened. And they had a change of heart, and now they are all glorifying God together. and the gospel's about to go out to the Gentiles. Now, I have to stop the text there because if I go to 19 through 30, it's a whole nother section of the book. Now, there's really one church that's been Jerusalem. And all the headquarters have been to Jerusalem. But now there's going to be a new headquarters we're going to see next week in Antioch, the third largest city. And it's going to be a headquarters that takes it literally to the world, to the Gentiles and everybody else out west. It's going to take the gospel everywhere. But we're going to have to get into that next week. So this week we're going to stop right here. My question to you is this. Do you have a joy in your heart over souls that are saved? Are you sharing the truth with the gracious Spirit? Are you making a difference? Sharing the truth with a gracious Spirit will make a difference today. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to do it. If we don't do it, nobody else is. And God is going to send. God does not use angels to reach people. God doesn't use animals to reach people. God uses Christians to reach the unsaved. If we don't do it, nobody will. Madison is without hope if you and I don't do our job. So is Hanover. So is Carrollton. So is Milton. God put us here for a reason. Let's reach people with